This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, Hiro Yui proves to be something of a hipster because he self-detonated before everyone else started doing it. Hey there, and welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast, a podcast where we discuss our memories of a specific Toonami program before watching it and trying to determine if it holds up and bears revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And this week, we're talking about Gundam Wing, episodes 11 through 20. For this session, I would just kind of like to talk about some of the merchandise surrounding the Gundam franchise, or, well, specifically Gundam Wing in this case, but really more the franchise itself, because the Gundam franchise is built on the back of merchandising.
Yeah, model kits and toys.
Yeah, so there is a lot of merchandise to go through. You mentioned the model kits, so I guess we might as well start there. Do you remember the commercials for Gundam Wing model kits?
I really don't.
Really?
I remember some of the commercials for action figures. And I definitely purchased a lot of the action figures. But model kits, I don't remember there being a commercial for, or even really any major distribution over here.
That's interesting, because there was definitely major distribution over here. Pretty significant. The commercials were basically, I mean, they were the same as, you know, just about any other commercial on Toonami or Cartoon Network in general, I guess, in that it would just be like shots of completed things, and then I think usually there was like a fast motion, like someone putting one together. They always would have them in, like, this weird, like, desert scenery setup. And just kind of pushing them around. And there's probably some kid, like, exclaiming how awesome it was in the background.
Yeah. Standard toy commercial fare.
Yeah. And, like, those commercials inspired me to buy a number of fucking Gundam model kits.
What was your first model kit?
I'm pretty sure it was Death Scythe. It was either Death Scythe or Wing Gundam.
I feel like Death Scythe. I feel like Death Scythe was clearly like the most popular. He's like the T-Rex or the Golden Retriever of Gundam Wing Gundams. Like everyone just had a boner for Death Scythe. I think it's a little over the top, but it's cool. Like, I thought it was pretty cool. My brother had a really cool Death Scythe action figure. That was, like, my first experience with the Gundam merchandise. Those action figures are sweet. Like, they released those over here, and I got into them kind of late because, like I said before, I wasn't allowed to get into Gundam because my brother was into it. not allowed by my parents, but from my brother.
I feel like there should be... I feel like that was more of a self-imposed limitation than your brother.
Absolutely. But also kind of... It's also kind of my brother, because he's just like, stupid Petey, you're copying me. Like, you know.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So I ended up getting, like, the first action figure I ended up getting was from Mobile Suit Gundam, which is, like, the first series, but that aired in Toonami later on. And it was the Zeong, which is perhaps one of the ugliest looking mobile suits. I don't know why I bought it.
The Zeong has some stiff competition in the original Mobile Suit Gundam as far as ugliest design. Let me tell you.
Well, my brother bought a bunch of those action figures at first, and he had a tackle box. Where, you know, they have, like, little compartments for all the different bait and tackle you have. He would just put all, like, the different weapons and shields and shit in different compartments and had, like, the suits in the bottom row. It was pretty awesome. I definitely snuck in there and opened it up.
I definitely had the action figures too. But I think one of the weirder specific things, like with Gundam merchandise that I purchased, was the Gundam trading card game.
Oh, God.
And of course, this is like post Pokemon. And I, not to just talk about Pokemon a bunch, but I never understood how to play Pokemon. I didn't even really understand like the concept of how buying the cards, like what the way to get different cards was, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Don't really know.
Like I didn't usually buy like boosters. I would get like the starter kit, like multiple copies, which is ridiculous. It just has the same stuff. Like is like with some variation. But I didn't really grasp that. And, God, I was a stupid kid. But with Gundam, I remember I got a starter kit, and the way it was set up was there were basically two starter kits, and you needed, well, you didn't need both of them to play. But one was, like the bad guy starter kit, like the Oz starter kit. And then the other was, like, the hero starter kit, which is, you know, like, the Gundams and
the hero starter kit?
Yeah, exactly. So, I remember playing it with a friend of mine who was, like, my best friend at the time, and he was also really into Gundam, which was part of why we were really good friends. And it was just, we played it with one of the starter kits, and it was the bad guy starter kit. I don't know if I chose that one specifically, but that's the one I had. And it was
You chose that
really...
one specifically, come on. What? You chose that one specifically, let's be honest.
Yeah, probably. But
I fucking love the Leo.
Yeah. Well, there was only one Leo card, but, you know, it was worthless, so of course.
Should have been a thousand of them.
But I don't really remember the specifics of how the game worked, but I seem to remember it being kind of similar to Pokemon in that, like, you had, like, your mobile suit out, and then it would fight the enemy mobile suit until one of them's destroyed, and you had to have, like, a selection of mobile suits, basically.
That's cool.
And the way that we had it set up, when we only had one pack, so we'd shuffle them up and deal them out. And the problem with this was that each pack had one, like, you know, the best card or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was only one. And in this case...
Wait, so you didn't even fight with two decks?
No, I only had one.
So you just had to awkwardly split one deck?
Yeah, exactly. And and it didn't work. Because one of the mobile suits was Epion, which we haven't gotten to in the series yet, but it's
badass, like, motherfucker.
It's like a really powerful Gundam, and what it came down to was the person who ended up with that would just win. Because we didn't have anything that could compete, like, on the other side. It was just, oh, cool, you have an Epion, like, I have a Taurus, and it's not as good. It just gets blown up, and then you, like, go through like a fucking slasher movie villain and just kill all of my mobile suits, and I don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
And then you win, and then we shuffle them up, and I get Epion this time, and we play the same game in reverse.
If you get the hero deck, though, you you get five incredible cards.
Yeah, you see, I seem to remember that pretty much everything other than Wing Zero was, like, significantly less powerful.
Ah, yeah.
Because, I mean, there was some balance to it, like...
No, I'm sure.
Like, the Wing Zero and the Epion could go toe-to-toe, and, like, from what I remember, the villain deck had some mobile suits that come later in the series, like the Mercurius and the V8, which were more or less equivalent to, like, Death Scythe and Heavy Arms. I don't know about the... I don't know if you even got all five Gundams in the, like, hero set.
Yeah.
I do remember that the hero set also had a Leo, which is funny. Yeah, because there's, like, one episode where Hiro Yui pilots a Leo, and so they're like, well, put a Leo in there. And it was great because, like, the art was with the Leo with its arm blown off.
Oh, like, nice.
It's just like a damaged Leo, which was perfectly representative of that particular mech.
You know, I never really got Pokemon either. Unfortunately, I never got into the Gundam Wing card game.
That was the extent of it for me. I don't even know where the fuck we got that stuff. Yeah, it's weird now that I feel like there is so much more of a merchandise presence than that for some reason. Like, thinking about it, it's kind of like, it's pretty much model kits and action figures and that card game, which I fucking have never heard of since.
Yeah.
So, for all I know, it's like a fucking hallucination.
Yeah, yeah. You had the Gundam Battle Assault game for PS1, or as the announcer would call it, Gundam Battle Assault.
You know, it's funny, I don't really remember there being, like, Gundam Wing video games specifically.
Well, the thing about Gundam Battle Assault is that they changed the game for America and replaced the protagonist with Hiro Yui. Mm. And so if you're playing single player, it's like you choose a mobile suit. It's actually kind of hilarious because you choose a mobile suit and it shows a little text box of Hiro reacting to your choice. And most of the time it's just like, oh, this is a solid suit. It's the Double Zeta. Oh, look, it's Zaku 2. It's, you know, old standby or something. I don't know. And then you, like, go over Agai, and he's just like, Agai? Like he's just upset that you'd even think of it. Because everyone just shits on the Agai. Which is just, like, this weird little brown amphibious suit from Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a fun game, but it's kind of a... Pretty lightly related to Gundam Wing. Like, they had the Wing Gundam in it. The sequel had a lot more of the cast. A lot more of the Gundams from that series. But this one pretty much just had... literally just Wing Gundam. But besides that, like, I missed out on a lot of the merchandise. I pretty much missed out on Gundam Wing, so I missed out on most of the merchandise. My brother had a Heavy Arms model kit and... like the Death Scythe toy and some of the other toys, but it, you know, pretty much passed me by.
Well, do you want to do a quick over-under bet? I thought you had one.
Oh, yeah, for the next, Yeah, let's see. You know, I have two options for ones, but maybe I could save one for later.
Yeah, just pick one.
Okay, let's say over-under 5 times do you hear some variation of the phrase, "It's a Gundam!" Ah! As someone notices they're fighting a Gundam and then get immediately destroyed.
Yeah, okay, I'll take that.
Okay, and I'd say over-under 5 because I'm not exactly sure how frequent it is, but I notice it now and then. Yeah. I'll take
over.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll take under.
Since you're proposing the bet, I will take over.
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get watching.
That's right. I'll see you on the other side.
Earth is in trouble.
Enemy attack! Enemy attack!
We need the Gundams.
It's here.
All new Gundam Wing action figure model kits.
That's a mobile suit.
Build your own Gundam mobile suit.
A Gundam.
Snap together multicolor pieces. No glue required. Extreme articulation. Pick your favorite or collect them all.
Gundams are on Earth.
Roger that.
Gundam Wing Action Figure Model Kits. Only from Bandai.
Michael here with the usual spiel. Thanks for listening. If you want to do even more for us than you already have, please subscribe on iTunes, write us a review, preferably a positive one, but, you know, If you want to shit on us, that's fine too. Or tell a friend or family member, probably a friend, realistically, that you think might enjoy this program. Our next episode is going up on January 4th, so enjoy your new year, and we will get back to our discussion at Gundam Wing in just a moment.
What the heck? That's a mobile suit! It's a Gundam!
Surround and destroy it!
Right by there is like there was nothing!
Mission accepted.
So let's get into it. Let's discuss these episodes.
Episodes 11 through 20.
Yeah. So I guess to start off with, summarize a bit, more or less the bulk of these episodes deals with Oz in the last episode of our last segment. They threaten to blow up one of the colonies unless the Gundam pilots essentially hand over their Gundams. So the leader of the sort of resistance, specifically Hiro's mentor, Dr. J, shows up and says, okay, well, we're not going to sacrifice a colony for this, so we won't give them any orders anymore. So about the first half of these 10 episodes is the Gundam pilots kind of operating on Earth without any actual orders.
Yeah.
Which means that they more or less don't know what to do.
They're all depressed.
Yeah, and they're trying to avoid notice by Oz, as Oz sort of finally cleans up the last of the Alliance remnants. Meanwhile, Zex is rebuilding the Wing Gundam, which Hiro self-detonated at the end of the last segment. He is doing this in direct contradiction to what Oz wants him to do, and his motivations seem to be pretty much just like they didn't really finish their fight and he wants to finish it.
He's crazily honorable to a fault when it comes to war.
Yeah. So all of that's happening. And also, in these episodes, the story kind of moves into space for really the first time. And space is sort of going through the same turmoil that Earth was. You've got Oz taking out the last of the Alliance remnants and sort of being, I guess, conquering heroes to an extent. Like, the colonies are fully supportive of them because they're getting rid of the Alliance, and it's this sort of peace through conquest idea that the colonies are sort of swallowing completely.
Yeah, and you get, like, I think in, like, episode 15 or 16, there's a moment where Trace comes and visits this, I think it's like the Romafell Foundation, this a big party of aristocrats, and makes a speech.
Yeah.
And he makes a speech about how, like, basically how his actions are justified by God, which is pretty interesting, pretty edgy for a show on Toonami, or for a show for kids.
The other main thing that starts happening here is that Oz starts deploying mobile dolls, which are essentially unmanned mobile suits, and that kind of becomes, eventually that becomes probably the most interesting thing about Gundam Wing, personally, is the expansion of that idea. Trace is in pretty direct conflict with Romafeller's higher-ups because they believe in this technology and he doesn't. Because, I mean, there's a lot of philosophical reasoning behind it, which doesn't really get explored yet. But there's a lot of talk. The scientists are also all captured by Oz, the five scientists who built the five Gundams, and they have similar feelings about the mobile dolls. Like, they don't feel like it's legitimate.
The mobile dolls are interesting too, because in most shows like this, when you get something that's like unmanned or piloted by a robot or something, they're usually just always weaker than say something that was piloted by a human. In this case, they're like way better, way way better. Like, the human pilots just suck ass compared to the mobile dolls. The mobile dolls like make it hard for even the Gundam pilots.
Yeah, and that's something that's kind of cool about these episodes, is that you see the Gundam pilots going into space, and most of them, with the exception of Hero, take their Gundams into space with them. And there's like two fights that happen, one with Duo and one with Wufei. And it's at least partially because they're fighting mobile dolls / mobile suits designed explicitly for space use, whereas their mobile suits are more designed for ground use. But they basically get their asses kicked, which is interesting because that hasn't really happened yet. Like,
yeah, exactly.
There hasn't been a point where it looked like they might just die, and Duo pretty much almost does. Wufei nearly does as well. It's pretty interesting, given the sort of results of almost everything else in the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I feel like watching these episodes, that I feel like the censors were hard at work on this little block. Just because you've got, like, Trey's making a speech about God, which I think was kept in, but then, like, after that, he's, like, you know, he's making a speech about God, and everyone's just, like, buys it and they're totally supportive, and then after that he's talking to himself and he's like, God's not real, humans made God. And I was like, ooh, that did not get in the original, there's no way.
Yeah, I can't really speak to that, I don't know.
I don't know exactly for sure, but it just seems like something that
it's definitely an intro, like, yeah, no, that's not,
but expanding on that, there's also there's an episode of Wufei where he's, like, fighting with Sally, and he's, like, it's just, this episode's basically just catching up with him after the defeat, and how he's really downtrodden. And that episode has some really gory stuff happen. Like, these guys just get blown up and get, like, shrapnel covered to their backs and stuff. Like, tons of people die in that episode.
Yeah, and they die brutally, too. And it's not like they're in mobile suits. It's dudes on the ground fighting mobile suits and getting obliterated.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
It's one thing I wish I could see the difference, like a side by side, but I can't exactly. But I bet they probably censored a little bit of those scenes out. Scenes, but the gore.
Yeah, I'd imagine like they didn't broadcast a dude with his back completely cut to ribbons, like.
Right. Yeah.
And
one thing you brought up, we watch some of these episodes together now and then, and we watch some of them alone. It just depends on our schedule, really. And it kind of gives it gives us a certain unique perspective. But we watched that one together, and you mentioned how you really liked that they use combined arms in Gundam One.
Oh, yeah. That's something that's, like, pretty interesting about it, is a lot of Gundam series, and I might be kind of talking out of my ass here, but a lot of the ones that I've seen, it's mostly just mobile suits fighting. Like, you don't really have tanks or aircraft, either like planes or helicopters, featured, or like artillery. That stuff just doesn't show up. It's pretty much like if you're watching, say, 0083.
Yeah.
0083, there's nothing really that's not mobile suits fighting each other.
Occasionally, like, a warship or something like that, but really you're not getting much else. In this, you do see a lot more, especially in this Wufei episode, it's all over, and it's actually got stakes. You see helicopter gunships, artillery trucks, the kind of, like, the box that fires rockets out of them. you know, mounted machine guns and stuff like that on the ground. It's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It reminds me, you know, it's kind of interesting, like, thinking about my progression of getting into Gundam, because it was basically, I mean, obviously I started with this, as a lot of Americans did, but I'm pretty sure the next series I really got into was 8th MS Team. In fact, I think those were the only two Gundam series I watched on Toonami when they aired. Like, I think I missed 0088. Yeah, okay. I definitely missed Mobile Suit Gundam.
G Gundam.
Yeah. And 8th MS Team also has a very, like, distinct combined arms approach to battles.
Well, yeah, and, like, as part of the team, and that one is, like, you got the hover tank things that come along, like APCs. You know, it's not like everyone has a mobile suit.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely true. And they have, yeah, like, I mean, the 8th MS team is kind of a better example than Gundam Wing, generally speaking. Because, yeah, you have main characters that don't pilot mobile suits. They're just like a support team.
Yeah, yeah.
In the hover truck. But the point is that, Gundam Wing has a pretty decent, at least, number of scenes. That kind of stuff tends to sort of end, I think. Like, that's mostly with the Alliance military.
Yeah.
But it's still cool. It's still cool to see.
Yeah, I like it because it kind of grounds it in a more realistic warfare. You know, something that we can relate to in the modern times. You know, you're seeing helicopter gunships, you're seeing artillery, you're seeing things that actually exist. As opposed to just, like, cool giant robots slashing each other up.
Yeah, and it's also, just in general, combined arms seems more realistic. Not necessarily because, like, you know, I know what a helicopter looks like in reality, but also just because that's how actual military operates and has to operate and pretty much has operated forever to an extent. I mean, arguably.
Yeah, yeah. I can't really think of one time where there's, like, a single weapon that everyone uses except, like, I don't know, clubs. Before there were bows and arrows. Like, I'm no war historian, but, you know, by the time you get archers, you're pretty much dividing things up.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, cavalry.
But, yeah, of course, cavalry from there, and then mechanized infantry and mechanized all sorts of shit.
Yeah, but I like that a lot. That's one of the things I appreciate most in a Gundam series, to be honest. That's one of the reasons 8th MS Team is one of my favorite series, if not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to see it here, because I totally forgot about it. And given how much of the focus of the show is on insanely powerful, nigh-indestructible, super robot-esque Gundams, it's kind of nice to see something a little more grounded.
And what's great about that episode is that it's a lot of the episode, even though you don't necessarily care about these characters because they're just introduced, but you're catching up these rebels that are with Sally, and they're just getting torn up constantly. And like I said before, I feel like it grounds it, and it's like, yeah, this is war. Like, it's not just kids fighting in cool toys.
Yeah. So yeah, the other thing that's kind of interesting that happens in this block is that Zex Marquis, the mask-wearing faux personality, is kind of killed. If I remember correctly, he pretty much stays dead. And you have actually the mouthful of a name, Meliardo Peacecraft, playing a bigger role in the story, like, as sort of a different character altogether.
Okay, so his persona technically died in combat, but the guy's actually alive? Because I didn't really pick up on that.
Yeah, yeah, that's the idea. I mean, that's the whole thing with the mask breaking. It doesn't make sense, but it's symbolic.
I feel like I've seen him wear the mask again in later episodes.
You know, but... you might. Now that I really think about it, I feel like maybe he does have the mask back on at some point, but I want to believe that he doesn't, so I'm just going I'm just going to apologize if I'm wrong.
Whatever. Maybe he finds an opportunity where it'd be convenient to have the persona come back. There's actually a line that I misheard when I was going back and taking notes the second time today. I misheard a line he said when he's sacrificing himself and sacrificing the tall geese pretty much. he's talking about Trace, and he's just like, "This friendship of the past will last only until the day my ass breaks." Is what I thought he said.
Yeah.
I know he's saying my mask, but listening to it two times in a row after that, I'm just like, no, it sounds like he's saying it until his ass breaks.
All right.
So it's a good slash fiction crossover line you could do.
Yeah, I'm sure that exists.
Yeah, probably does.
Well, I think that stuff tends to be closer to the main characters, but yeah, that definitely exists. Oh,
I'm sure there's a Zex Cucinato fucfic. Yeah.
So one of my favorite games to play, which I basically made this joke several times while we were watching together, is that, and this is always the case, but Gundam characters trend towards being pretty young, and and it's revealed directly, like it's canonized in these episodes, that Zex is like 19, which is completely absurd. I mean, he's like he's a colonel. Like, it's absurd that he's that young, but whatever. It's Gundam. It happens. But there's at least one instance where Lady Un in space, which we've got to talk about, but
oh god,
Lady Un in space makes a comment that this colony leader seems young, and to which my statement was, "I'm 12."
Yeah, and how old is he supposed to be if they call him young?
Yeah, and basically every time youth is mentioned, that's just my immediate thought is I'm 12.
Yeah, yeah, because old in this series is 25 plus. Like, it's, you're ancient.
Yeah,
it's
pretty much.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's not like it's the Dark Ages. These people can live a long time, I'm sure.
Yeah, especially given that, you know, they have the technology to build mobile suits and giant space colonies. Medical tech has advanced a decent amount, too.
Yeah, some kind of self-preservation. Let's talk about Lady Un, because she gets a little weird.
Okay.
When she goes into space, and then she just develops a split personality really randomly, where her hair's down.
Well, what's weird about it is, at first, it very much makes sense to me. Like, she has this, she lets her hair down and takes off her glasses and her uniform and wears, a business suit. And she's the ambassador from Oz to the colonies. And pretty much that works for me. That makes sense. It's just...
Yeah, and they would have a nicer public face than
the crazy... Yeah, and she's pretty much acting, and it's clear. That's not her personality generally. Or maybe it is, and she's acting when she's wearing the uniform. But the point is, towards the tail end of these episodes, it's almost framed as this, split personality, kind of weird... brainwash sort of thing.
Yeah.
But brainwash is kind of the wrong... It's almost like hypnosis.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, because, there's the scene where she's talking to these colonists and one of her officers comes over and is like, "Hey, we need to go back to Barge," which is their space fortress. And she's like, "Well, why would we need to do that?" And then he brings up Trays and she just kind of weirdly snaps back to her other personality. And
someone even comments Lady Un is a much stronger person in her uniform.
Yeah, exactly. And even that I kind of buy, but there's the point where it gets really weird is it's the second to last episode, and there's this, like Wufei is fighting some Leos or something. And
yeah, Leos get horribly wrecked in these episodes, by the way.
Even worse than the first 10, by far.
Yeah.
Because not only are they getting wrecked by the Gundam pilots every once in a while, but the Alliance Leos are constantly getting shredded by the Taurus suits because they're mobile dolls. And mobile dolls, as we said, are not just better than humans, but they're also way better than humans piloting Leos. Because
yeah,
because A, Leos just die all the time, but also, you know,
Leos are ground types in space.
They, yeah, canonically, because they're adapted for space use, not designed for it. So, you know, they're getting wrecked constantly, just constantly. There's one episode where at least 30 have to die. Yeah, I mean, other plot stuff, I guess. The doctors are captured, and Lady Un kind of blackmails them into building a mobile suit that is more powerful than the Gundams, which is interesting. They start building a pair of suits, the Mercurius and V8, which I never really remember which is which.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I know what they look like, but they are so much a pair that I can't honestly tell you off the top of my head, oh, that's definitely the Mercurius.
I think Mercurius is the one with, like, the beam shields, and V8 is the one with the big beam gun.
Yeah, one of them has a giant gun, and the other has an impenetrable shield, basically. It's kind of classic duality there. And
Yeah, dichotomy.
Yeah, and so They're looking for test pilots. Troa actually becomes a test pilot, sort of infiltrating the organization. Hiro goes to destroy the suits and kill the scientists, but he's stopped by Troa, who holds him at gunpoint. And I think that's the end of this block of episodes, is Troa holding Hiro at gunpoint in a Oz uniform, which is kind of neat.
And you know, after they go into space, they all kind of scatter, and a lot of them just get messed up. We mentioned before, Sandrock is left on Earth.
Sandrock's blown up. That's another thing.
Sandrock is left on Earth and blown up. Every pilot loves self-destruction after Hiro made it cool.
Except Wufei attempts to self-detonate in this block of episodes. Troa almost does. Fucking
Duo tries to, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, Duo tries to, but it's deactivated, which is kind of funny. So
the
build up
the
to
least
it,
suicidal.
And he just slams the button and nothing happens.
Right.
But yeah, at this point, everyone has at least attempted to self detonate once, except Wufei. He didn't try.
Which is crazy, because Wufei, I guess Wufei just loves his Gundam more, because he seems to have a really kind of strong relationship with it.
Yeah,
to the point where he's like when he loses, he's just like, I'm not worth this Gundam. This Gundam's better than me, and I'm
too
weak.
Just wait until we watch Endless Waltz for that to make sense. I think that's kind of explained in Endless Waltz.
That's cool. I assume it's going to get explained.
I don't know if it's explained in the main series, actually.
No.
But yeah, Endless Waltz is basically like a bunch of backstory for most of the pilots, and then some other shit, obviously. But
a couple of little random funny things too. When the Death Scythe gets destroyed, right? Like,
I mean, it gets its arm blown off, so it's heavily damaged, but it's not really.
I just remember I wrote, yeah, because. He screams for Duo screams about it, and he screams like a death metal singer. He's just like, no! It's pretty awesome.
I mean,
which is, you know, it's fitting. I think in the universe where they don't actually pilot Gundams but instead make a band, he would definitely be like the death metal singer.
Oh yeah, yeah, I can see that. He does tend to scream things a lot.
Yeah,
of all of them.
Katra's on violin. Yeah, Hiro's probably on electric guitar or bass.
Troa on flute.
Duo's electric guitar. Troa's on flute. Wufei is, I don't know, drumming?
Like drums, I guess? You could be a drummer.
I don't want to be like racist and be like, he's got the Asian instrument, it's like a...
Drums. You know. No, he'd be drums. You need a drummer. Drums, yeah. This band is already a disaster. You have a violin and a flautist. For a heavy metal band, like, it's not going to work. You need some drums in there to pretend that you have any idea what you're doing.
And Hiro's definitely a bassist.
Yeah.
So there's no
lead guitar.
No, there is. It'll be Duo. Come on. Duo has to be electric guitar. He can sing, too. Yeah.
No backup guitar. Just a backup flute.
Yeah, don't worry. We got that flute rhythm. You can just rely on the... This is no drums, just flute.
Yeah, that flute really provides a good, beat.
I'm writing a fanfic.
It's well known to provide a beat. This flouting.
Yeah. Everyone just align with the flautist. So my fanfic where I just take the entire story of Gundam Wing, but make it about a battle of the bands.
Okay, in this battle of the bands, what's the other band? Is there some and there's a schism in the other band that causes them to break off and form two bands?
Yes,
then battle and the Oz band wins because they're just straight up
Trey's,
better.
Trey's, Zex, and Marshall Laventa.
Yeah. And then the Oz band.
And Lady
Un. The Oz band starts Lady Un
is
auto-tune. Like, that's their version of the mobile
shit,
doll.
It's their
and,
mobile
like, a
doll.
Drum machine.
Oh.
And it just drums way better than Wufei ever could.
And they just, like, run in and they just break all of the Marshall DeVenta's equipment
for his
like, cool band. Or his cool band that he forms with,
With General Septim.
Fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the only other Alliance character.
Yeah. Septim, Noventa. Lady Un is, like... She could maybe play an instrument, but she might just be a roadie because she's so obsessed with Trey's.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of just a degrading position to put her in.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she's like badass, like, I don't know. I hate to...
This is a great idea.
Sadly, the most badass female singer I could think of off the top of my head is Pink, which I'm not sure how I feel about that, but...
All right.
She's like Pink in uniform and then like subdued, like sultry performance in the business suit. Really overthinking this stupid idea.
No, it's great. And Sally Rowe also. Sally Rowe's in the Earth Sphere group.
It's Sally Poe. Break out.
Sally Poe?
Yeah, then she leaves and becomes like a backup for the Gundam band.
Oh, shit.
This is a real, like, a lot of inner-band politics because characters in this show flip allegiances fucking 10 seconds, like...
Yeah, the show's all politics. Trey starts doing... Not Trey, Troa. Troa starts doing, like, performances with Oz's group and Hiro catches him.
Yeah. And,
I guess they just... The self-destruction would just be them attempting suicide, which is pretty dark.
Yeah, Jesus.
I can't really think of... Maybe they just...
like them
or it's
just...
when they break their guitars.
No, I was thinking, like, self-detonating is them exhibiting self-destructive band behavior. Like, just like, it's time to self-detonate, and then they just do, like, 10 lines of coke.
There you go. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Hiro made it look cool when Hiro like ODs or something and almost fucking dies.
Duo's
like trying to follow him. Like,
yeah, Duo accidentally picked up a cigarette instead of like a straw, so he can't do it.
He can't snort
the coke because it's just like a dowel or something.
Does that happen to people?
No, of course not.
It seems like a ridiculous premise, Doug.
Well, I'm just thinking.
I don't know if I find it believable in this story.
Like, how does he fail to do it? You know what
maybe,
I mean?
Maybe.
It's like, oh no, that was...
Maybe he just like shits his pants. Like,
or no, he snorts a line of white powder, but it turns out it's like baking soda or something.
There
shit.
You go, yeah. Yeah, he got a bum deal or something.
That's way better. God damn it.
That was a good tangent.
Yeah, that's a great riff, so to speak.
We'll come, yeah, we'll find it later. We'll have to adapt everything to this new band.
Yeah,
story
I can't wait for this. This is what our next episode's first segment's going to be, by the way. It's just us talking about this more. Because I've run out of memories about Gundam Wing already.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. So
how can we turn this into a parody fanfiction?
Yeah.
Oh, and hey, can we comment real quick about there's a really weird scene where Trace is like waxing philosophical in his estate, and he sees his happy family with his little baby on the dock. And the baby, it's the weirdest scene.
Yeah, it is.
And the mom, the parents are talking, and the baby's like running down the dock chasing a butterfly, or like crawling down the dock.
Yeah.
And he's about to chase the butterfly off of the dock where he'd definitely drown. And the mom turns around and is about to help him, and he just stops her with his hand.
Yeah, Trey's just like walks up and doesn't say stops shit. Her from saving her yeah. child he's just from like, potentially yeah. dying.
It's just like, no, let's watch this. This will be cool. I want to see a baby drown.
Yeah, well, like,
it's, no words, and then, like, of course the baby comes back and starts walking, and she's, like, crying. It's yeah. like, dude, you're a fucked up individual.
It's super weird. I think,
I'm sure it has some kind of metaphorical, philosophical meaning, like, well, you know.
Yeah,
know,
and that's the interesting thing about Trey's.
It's really weird
of,
out of context.
Yeah, no, it is. It's weird. And it's weird even in context, like, you know, come on, he's just like, Don't help your infant. Let it, if it drowns, it drowns, to paraphrase Ivan Drago.
Yeah.
That was a great, thank God I just made that joke. I'm
yeah,
so
I know.
Happy
he turns
with that.
To her and he's like, if it drowns, it drowns. And you're like, I get it.
Oh God. Anyway, this is a really good block of episodes, honestly.
It is. I really enjoyed them.
Like, the first block, as I said last time, I feel like they start weak.
Yeah, it got a little boring at some times in the first block, especially
this,
if it's just like, okay,
yeah,
seeing Gundam shred Leos
is consistent. It's consistently
yeah,
good. I
definitely.
Would say it's like the story
it's got
is
a lot
starting
of variety.
To move forward, and they're starting to actually kind of present some of the more interesting things that Gundam Wing brings up, specifically the mobile dolls and what that
yeah.
means for warfare when you have just robots fighting it.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what's ahead. Probably just, you know, drama and politics.
Well,
and,
yeah.
You know, all the good stuff we come to expect.
Characters flipping allegiances every, like, couple episodes.
This show is, yeah, like, I can follow it, but damn, it must have been complex for kids. Like,
yeah.
kids must have just been like, whatever, these are the good guys.
Well, yeah, and imagine...
oh, they're mad
like,
at each other.
As I said, imagine trying to watch this shit when you're not capable of seeing every episode in order. Like...
oh, God, yeah.
Like, imagine missing an episode. It's really...
and they don't
depending
recap.
On which one you miss, it's really hard to know what's going on.
They really don't recap. I mean, they recap, but it's not... that much like it's
well it,
I guess
know,
they do recap what am I talking about
yeah I've been skipping the
we
recaps,
just skip over them
so. But yeah like it, some of it I think the recaps did a pretty good job of letting you know what was going on but it's still kind of confusing like
yeah
like even in like Trey's attacking the Rumafeller Foundation in a manned Leo while they're performing mobile doll tests to, like, demonstrate how badass mobile dolls are.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is also kind of weird. That whole scene feels out of place to me. I gotta say, if there's one thing that I take issue with this block of episodes, it's the fact that that scene doesn't happen before they've already started using mobile dolls widespread in space.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be, like, a test... he's doing it like in testing.
Yeah, or like a demonstration. I mean, all they're demonstrating is something that they clearly already know and are doing. Maybe it's supposed to be like a ground test. Like, that's the only thing I can think of. Because
they
do.
They were in space.
What?
But they're in space.
No. The Leos.
Oh, okay.
Because...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because they make some points that mobile dolls can operate in space because there aren't obstacles, so they don't really have to navigate that much.
Yeah, right.
Whereas on the ground, obviously, that's not the case. Maybe the point is tested mobile doll technology for ground use. I don't know. But I remembered that scene happening before mobile doll use became widespread.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We also, just this one last little thing. There is one episode where you meet these two Oz pilots who, like, get a lot of introduction and, like, character time for, you know, what are just random one-off characters. And I really enjoyed them because they're just kind of cartoonishly evil. I don't remember their names. It's like
I think that
Gunt and Dunker or something like that.
Was that this block? I thought that was last block.
It was this block. I took notes on it.
Yeah, the Cancer and Ares
dude, early
they
just on.
Are blowing the shit out of the Alliance. And they have pretty much a whole episode devoted to them.
It's so weird. And they're funny, though. Like, yeah, because they take Zex on a mission, and the Alliance surrenders, but they still blow him up, and Zex is all offended because he's honorable. And so, yeah, and then Zex ends up killing them and just getting away with it.
Which is great. But, yeah, it's
classic.
That is a weird episode. I remember watching this a couple of years ago and thinking, like, this episode is filler. Why is this here?
Yeah, it is a little, isn't it? It's just kind of like, okay.
I mean, maybe Zex it's trying to piloting. Further underline how honorable Zex is so that his, you know, rebuilding of Wing Gundam doesn't make as much, like, makes more sense, but...
Yeah, right.
I might also be reading into it too much. We are running a little long.
Yeah, no, we're good. Next episode, we'll be introducing the 21 through 30 block of episodes. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I know where this series ends up going, but it's fun to be on the ride again.
Yeah.
And we'll continue breaking down our Battle of the Bands Gundam scenario as well.
Yeah. We'll figure it out, guys.
This has been Hyperspace Broadcasts. I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week. The first bumper for our break was audio from the Gundam Wing model kit commercial, uploaded to YouTube by user SlimD716. The second bumper was taken from Gundam Wing Toonami Hodgepodge, which was edited and uploaded by YouTube user DuelistG. Opening and closing music is Vapor Diving by Onatech, off the album Onatech Instrumentals Volume 6. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud. I recommend that you do because it's good stuff. Rights were secured through Jamendo.